British Sky Broadcasting presents Frozen Impact. In this dramatic film, hailstones as large as cricket balls crash down on a mountain town. While a rescue worker searches for his missing daughter, his son needs an emergency liver transplant. Wilson Farm, the Appalachian Mountains, night. A traditional wooden farmhouse is struck by a deluge of large hailstones that tear the roof to pieces, destroying the nearby wind generator and damaging the pickup truck in the yard. Voiced by Stephen O'Neill on behalf of MCS Agency. Meanwhile, the next day, a small two-seater twin-prop airplane is flying through the clouds. The pilot looks through the window, and his young passenger has on his lap a sealed container with small lights on the top of it.
We got about 8 hours to get this baby back inside a body.
No sweat. We'll be on the ground before you know it.
The lifeguard, 25 kilo, Mike. Be advised, center is showing a storm system building up southeast of your Vermont destination. You may want to redirect until we get a better read on it.
Next hour, we'll check it out.
Roger, lifeguard.
Routine warning. Don't worry. We'll make it in time.
The young man looks anxious as the plane flies through the clouds, and the scene changes to Rutland, Vermont. Its old-fashioned town center with its church spires peeps through the trees. The film stars Ted McGinley as Dan Blanchard, Linda Pearl as Dr. Christy Blanchard, Nicole Paggi as Marie Blanchard, and Miles Jeffrey as Jason Blanchard. The exterior of the Blanchard family home, a wooden-fronted, colonial-style detached house. Two cars in the separate garageway across the drive. Dan Blanchard, dressed in a t-shirt and jeans, is working on his motorbike as his wife Linda, wearing a dark blouse and tan chinos, crosses the lawn to speak to him.
It's after nine, you're going to be late.
Thanks.
Dan goes to the work table and puts down his ratchet.
Looks like you're actually almost finished with this thing. Is it going to run?
That's the idea.
He wipes down the bike with a cloth.
Did you talk to Jason last night about the auction?
Yep.
And why is he still under the impression he's going to go?
I told him we'd sleep on it.
After you and I already decided he shouldn't go.
Honey, I know it's a mother's job to be protective.
It's a parent's job, Dan.
Linda storms out of the garage and across to the front of the house. Dan catches up with her.
Hey, I'm sorry.
Get it, I'll talk to him.
Christy, it's been 6 months. At some point, we have to start letting him live a normal life again.
What's normal, Dan, for a 12-year-old who needs a new liver?
It's just a magic show.
If he falls down or he bumps into something, it could kill him.
Their son is in the porch.
And keeping him cooped up in the house while you obsess over worst-case scenarios is somehow helping him.
Hey! Check it out. Abracadabra. Ta-da!
Very impressive.
Right, honey.
Impressive enough to give me that Chinese water torture tank?
No.
Can I at least saw Marie in half?
No!
Yes. No.
Jason looks disappointed, and his parents exchange glances.
Look, pal. Your mom and I decided you should skip the auction.
But you said if I was feeling okay that...
I know, honey. What Daddy meant was...
I know. Maybe next year.
I'm going climbing with Laura and some friends. Bye!
Excuse me?
It's no big deal. Everybody that's going is certified.
Absolutely not. Get back in the house and get rid of that gear.
Dad!
You heard her.
Thanks for the support. Bye, honey. See you tonight. Maybe we'll play Monopoly or something, okay?
Okay.
As his mum leaves, Jason looks at his father.
Does mom worry so much because she's a doctor?
Yeah. Yeah, because she's a doctor who loves you very much.
I know, but it's not like pulling a rabbit out of a hat is dangerous. I mean, it's not even a real rabbit.
This is criminally unfair. Mom's a total uptight freak.
Hey, I don't want to hear you talking about your mother like that.
Now I can't even say what I want? It's like living in Russia. What am I supposed to do all day? Sit around and veg?
Actually, No. No, I want you to drive Jason to the car auction.
Are you serious?
Yes, but I want you to be very careful.
I will, I promise.
All right.
Thanks, Dad.
And I want you to make sure he drinks plenty of water, and if he gets tired, bring him right home.
You're kidding, right? This is the worst case of parental hypocrisy I've ever seen.
All right, don't start. This is very important to him.
So? No one cares what's important to me.
I have had enough of the Rebellious Teenager Act, okay? You're driving your brother to town. If I hear another word about it, you're grounded for a week.
Dan and Marie exchange looks of frustration. At the car auction, there is bunting, balloons, and excited faces.
Howdy, folks, and welcome to Peter Craig's 17th Annual Auto Auction Extravaganza. Hey, we're giving them away. Change your life and please your wife. You'll save more than a nickel on your next vehicle. We got food by the load. Come get the boat. Put some new rubber on the road. No dust, no rust, just a car you can trust.
Marie and Jason pull up in a Jeep.
Whoa! This is so cool!
Yeah, it's frightening to think so.
Well, have fun. I'll be back in a few hours. Dad said
Not here.
You're going climbing.
Look, do you want me to call Mom so neither of us gets to do anything?
Have a nice climb.
Bye! Have fun.
Mr. Crane, the owner of the car lot, walks across a podium and puts the microphone in its stand to begin the auction.
Hello! No, please.
Hey, we're giving them away. Change your life and please your wife.
Thank you! Thank you very much. And welcome to the 17th Annual Auto Auction Extravaganza, where all roads lead to a deal. Yeah. Pete Crane will put you behind the wheel and make you a deal. Did I say deal? I should have said steal. So, folks, get your bidding hats on, don't wander off, and get ready, because the action will be in just a moment. Jason! It's about time. These people breed like rabbits. I want you to keep these kids quiet. Quiet kids make happy parents, and happy parents buy cars.
No problem.
You smell that, kid?
Popcorn?
No, money. There's nothing quite like the smell of money in the morning. Got me some clear skies and a good crowd. Nothing's gonna stop me now. No siree.
Meanwhile, back inside the small airplane...
Lifeguard, 25 kilo Mike, be advised. We're approaching a building storm system. You may want to redirect southeast of your Vermont destination.
How long will that take?
Too long. It might be a little dicey, but I think we can make it. Okay, Tower. We'll keep our eyes open.
I roger that, lifeguard.
You ever gonna put that thing down?
Safer in my lap. Too much bouncing might damage the organ.
What's with the lights?
It's a monitor. The more green, the healthier the organ. If it gets to red, it ends up in a dumpster.
The plane is shaken by turbulence.
Looks like we found that storm.
Is everything all right?
Just a few bumps in the road.
How long until we get there?
We got a pretty stiff headwind. We're gonna be a little late.
At Rutland Hospital, Dr. Linda Blanchard, in a white medical coat, enters the reception area and talks to Debbie, a colleague.
Lightbox 3 is still out.
It's on the list. Maintenance lost 2 more people this morning. I'm having a hard time even getting a bed changed.
This is getting ridiculous. It took me 45 minutes to get that wrist x-ray through radiology. I don't know how Karen expects to run a hospital on half a staff.
That's a good question. You know what? You should remember to ask her when you stop by her office later.
Again?
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't she have anything better to do than to bother us?
Apparently not.
Great. I'll stop by and see her between my brunch and my pedicure.
What's next? Well, we have a gashed thumb in 1 and a possible broken shoulder in 2. Rutland ER. Yep, she's right here. 2.
Dr. Blanchard. Are you sure? How close is the match? Yes. Yes, the hospital is absolutely ready to accept it.
Back in the plane.
Whoa! Should I be scared yet?
Not yet. Everything's under control.
The young man looks anxious. Suddenly, huge hailstones rip through the front window of the plane, sending the aircraft into a nosedive, one of its engines now on fire.
I'm gonna try to shut it down!
The left wing breaks away, and as the two men cover their faces in fear, there is an explosion as the plane crashes into the mountainside. Paramedic dispatch, Rutland, Vermont.
Dispatch!
Hey, Stu, I'm still waiting on that ambulance. This guy's in a lot of pain. I need someone here now. Where are they?
What can I tell you, Pat?
Something.
They had a call.
It's not my fault.
Hey, don't blame me. Talk to the guy who did the header off his kid's skateboard.
Say what?
How should I know? You're the camp counselor. Counsel.
Hey, Stu.
Morning, Stu.
Hey, boss. What about arts and crafts?
Hey, it's just a suggestion. I gotta go.
Thanks, Stu.
Pat Brody?
Yeah, Zach and Doug are running late on that CPR demo, and he's blowing a gasket.
What about Sin and Steve and Tony?
They just rolled on a heart attack over at Fitness Masters. Some guy dropped right on the treadmill.
Unit 1 to base.
Zach, are you guys on your way to Pat Brody's?
We were until Millie Ryan flagged us down.
Fluffy?
Yeah, she's up pretty high this time. We're gonna need the fire department.
Forget it. Tell Millie to buy a pellet gun.
Hey. Zach, it's Dan. Hey, see if Millie's got a can of tuna we can use to lure the cat down. And let's try to avoid opening fire on Fluffy unless absolutely necessary, huh?
Roger on the tuna.
And get over to Brody's ASAP.
Got it.
Tuna?
Pellet gun?
It's a figure of speech.
Yeah.
Dan crosses to his desk.
What's all this?
Manpower reports. Division says you've been filling them out wrong.
It's been 5 months. They couldn't have mentioned it sooner?
I warned you about taking this promotion. Young guys like you should be out in the field, not doing paperwork in an office.
Yeah, well, tell it to my wife.
You want my advice?
No, not really.
You two need to tear down the emotional walls you've built up since the accident and rebuild trust. Start with an intimate dinner for two and bring flowers, but not roses. They're too showy.
Ah.
Big storm over in Woodard last night. 50 mile an hour winds, golf ball size hail.
Says here it took out a gas hauler about 150 miles west of here.
What do you think of the name Medusa?
For what?
The storm. Weather Service says it's not big enough to get a name, but I disagree.
I think Division's gonna love my manpower report for today when it lists cat rescue and storm naming.
At the hospital, Linda puts down the phone.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Queen Karen put a stop on our supply order, so now we're out of smock gloves. Good thing I keep an extra stash. You okay?
That was the National Donor Center. They found a liver match for Jason.
That's great!
Call surgery, have them page Dr. Burkett, have them prep the OR. Liver's gonna be here in about 3 hours.
Right.
Nurse Stockdale to pediatric. We can bring Jason in.
As Linda tries to phone her home, an old man on a stretcher is being rushed into the hospital.
Oh, come on, Marie, pick up.
Yeah, let's get him in there. Come on, let's go.
Hi, you've reached the Blanchard family. Leave a message and presto. We'll call you back.
Linda tries a different number. Meanwhile, Dan is still in the paramedic office.
Dispatch.
Stu, it's Christy.
Hey, Christy.
I'm not here.
Dan there?
No, he's not in yet.
Want me to give him a message? Dr. Blanchard, we're gonna need you.
Just tell him I can't find the kids and to call me as soon as he can.
Got it. Fine.
The emergency patient is rushed into a cubicle. In the mountains nearby, a sign says National Forest and points the way to Deer's Leap. Marie drives up in her Jeep and stops by a girl in a t-shirt carrying a rucksack.
What took you so long? Rick and Michael are already up there.
I had to drop off my stupid brother.
Michael was totally asking about you.
No way.
Rick even said he was kind of into you.
Okay, was there more of an emphasis on the kind of or the into?
Definitely into.
Into is good.
The girls head into the forest. In the hospital, Christy works on reviving the patient.
Ventilating. Pressure's dropping. 130. 20. He's crashing. Push one amp of epi.
One amp of epi.
Lubricate.
Lubricating.
I'm at 250. Clear.
Agent Sill in VTAC.
I'm at 300. Clear.
Dr. Blanchard, your husband's on the phone returning your call.
Tell him I'll call him back. I'm at 350. Clear.
In the forest, two young men wearing harnesses and safety helmets are climbing a rock face. One momentarily loses his footing. Marie and her friend look on from below.
Nice job, guys! Looking really good!
The two young men reach the top and give each other a high five.
There it is! Try and top that!
Have you got the GPS coordinates?
2 degrees west, original location.
Uh-huh. How many on board?
There's two.
Got it. We'll check it out and let you know.
Copy that.
What's up?
Looks like Medusa's got a mean streak in her. She just knocked down a private plane above Deer's Leap, about 50 miles from town.
Where was it headed?
I don't know. They just said she was coming from camp.
Any survivors?
No contact. Just the GPS signal. Mountain Rescue's still over in Woodward. They want us to take a look.
Let's see. Steve and Tony are still at that bicycle versus auto.
I guess I'll have to break Zach and Doug away from Pat Brody's place. Send them up there.
Oh, you know how the kids love those demos.
Hate to disappoint them like that.
Well, they are only young once.
Yep. See ya.
What about the reports?
Help yourself.
I've got 75. I've got 75 going one, 75 going twice. Over here. 75 going three times. Sold for 75.
Back at the car lot, Jason is still entertaining the children with his tricks.
Four-door compact.
So, this is your car, right?
Nope.
Well, what about this one?
Uh-uh.
Man, I guess I owe you a dollar. My wallet's in here. Could you hold it for a second?
Hey, that's my card. How'd you do that?
Magic.
The young girl looks impressed.
Why, you're 29? 29.
Over here.
There you go, to the lady in the blue. Anybody for 30? Huh? Anybody for 31?
You know, one guy I went to film school with just shot footage of Desert Storm. Another guy just finished his second Wesley Snipes film. Where did I go wrong?
32. Going once. Going twice.
Sold for $3,200.
The new owners leap into their car as Crane grabs the mic.
Are you kidding? $3,200 for this fine piece of American engineering. That is highway robbery. Will somebody please get my accountant on the phone? We're in serious trouble. Oh, my heart. My heart. On second thought, forget the accountant. Call my doctor.
So remember, Vermont, you don't have to spend a heck of a lot to get a heck of a deal. This is Trisha Tyler, the bargain hunter for WCVD News.
Got it!
The cameraman's fed up.
I think I could have hit that second heck a little harder. Let's go again. Come on.
I don't know, Trish. I think you nailed it. It was really... real.
Yeah? Yeah, it was, wasn't it? Okay.
Jason performs more tricks.
Ta-da! I'm gonna take a short break, and I'll be back to even more amazing tricks.
I've got 55. Do I hear 57, 50? 57, 50 going right there. Do I hear six? Six.
Yeah.
There's six. 65. What about 65? Six going once, going twice.
Inside the office, Jason gets some water, and his attention turns to the radio.
To stay indoors. Severe hail has already caused major damage and is expected to continue sporadically for the next few hours. We will continue to bring you storm updates as they come in.
Sold for 75, right over there.
Mr. Crane, I have to talk to you.
Not now, kid.
But Mr. Crane, the radio said that everyone should go home because there's a storm coming.
Go home? Are you nuts? I'm selling everything in sight. Heck, I might even finally get a chance to sell the bus.
Yeah, but the radio said severe hail.
Hailstorm. Look, there's not even a cloud in the sky.
All right. Next up is this 1995.
Up at Deer's Leap, in the rain, Dan drives up in a large four-wheel drive car.
Dan, come in.
Go, Stu.
Hey, Dan, are you getting close?
I'm at the turnaround.
Well, you better hurry it up. Medusa caught a kick off the Atlantic, and she's coming over the mountain, heading for town at 20 miles and closing.
What's she bringing with her?
Hail at twice the size
and speed as usual. Sudden squalls of baseball-sized stones that come and go without warning. Raining down at north of 150 miles an hour.
Dispatch.
It's Christy.
Hey, Christy. No, Dan's out on a call.
Put her through, Stu.
Dan, where are you?
I'm up at Deer's Leap. What's up?
I can't find the kids.
That's nothing to worry about.
I'm sure they're fine.
They found a match for Jason.
What?
A liver. They found him a liver.
Are they sure?
Yes, yes, it's on its way.
Dan is moved by the news.
I can't believe it. I mean, this is incredible.
I know. Listen, the liver's only good for about 8 hours, and it's being flown here from the Midwest, so Jason needs to be ready for surgery as soon as it gets here. Can you go home and get him?
Yeah, sure, no problem.
Dr. Blanchard, he's spiraling.
I have to go. Just get him here as fast as you can. The plane's gonna be here from Canton any minute.
Dan sighs and fears the worst.
Did you hear that, Stu?
I'm on it, Dan. Hold on.
I'm sorry, Dan.
Kenton Center confirms the downed plane was carrying the transplant organ.
He rubs his face and punches the dashboard.
Want me to get Christy back?
No.
Dan grabs a holdall, leaps out of the car, heads purposefully up into the forest by the side of the road. Meanwhile, at the hospital, a stern woman in a dark suit has come to have a word with Christy, who is standing at a patient's bedside.
Is this your code blue?
Yeah, this is Charles Wilson, 63, no prior history.
How's he doing?
Oh, he's hanging in there. His family's on the way.
With a nod of her head, the woman indicates she would like a word with Christy in private.
Part of heading a department is taking on certain administrative responsibilities.
What's your point? I've really got to get back to this gentleman.
I have left numerous messages for you to come and see me.
Well, it's kind of tough to get away when you're the only one here.
Your charts are currently 4 days behind.
Well, I'll catch up when things slow down.
I'm not interested in excuses, Dr. Blanchard. I'm interested in billing, and I can't do that until your charts are complete.
I understand. I'll get to them when I can.
You don't like me very much, do you, Doctor?
Well, you've been here for only 2 weeks. You have managed to completely disrupt the ER. You have alienated every member of the staff. What do you expect?
I expect you to do your job. From now on, your charts will be in my office at the end of each shift.
Fine. Anything else?
Yes, your son's surgery.
What about it?
You accepted a liver without my consultation. Hospital policy dictates that I am responsible for assessing a scenario before accepting a transplant.
Jason is a perfect candidate. I assumed that there wouldn't be any...
That's not your assumption to make. Your unauthorized decision could lead to legal action against this hospital.
I didn't think...
Clearly. In the future, I expect you to act more responsibly.
I'll do that.
Good.
Christy looks at the floor, obviously shocked and hurt by what's just happened. Meanwhile, back at the forest, Dan runs uphill through the trees and burning metal debris. He has found the crashed plane. He momentarily pauses against the main body of the plane to catch his breath.
Hello? Hey!
He makes his way to the cockpit, where the pilot is unconscious.
Hey!
He checks the pilot's pulse and looks up at the sky as he realizes he's too late to save him.
Oh, man.
Dan moves away from the cockpit and surveys the rest of the wreckage. He carries his holdall and walkie-talkie. He spots the young passenger who is sitting on the ground, leaning against a tree with his back to him. Dan heads over to him. The man's face is badly cut, but he looks like he's survived.
Don't move. Stu,
I got a survivor.
Get some help up here. You hang in there, you're gonna be fine.
The pilot. Tom?
Dan shakes his head slightly.
Sorry. He didn't make it.
We were carrying a transplant organ.
I know. It's for my son. How's your breathing?
Okay. Your son?
Yeah. Jason. Can you squeeze my hand? Good.
Good. The liver. It's over there.
It's beneath a tree.
I held on to it as long as I could. I'm okay. Go get it.
Dan hesitates for a moment and then runs over to the tree, picking up the container with great care. He gently knocks a couple of leaves off it and returns to the young man. He picks up his walkie-talkie.
Stu, I found the liver. What's the word on Mountain Rescue?
They're on their way from Woodard, but it'll be a few hours.
A few hours isn't good enough.
It's the best they can do.
Get them up here as soon as possible.
I'm on it, Dan.
Don't worry. They will be here.
How is it?
Looks okay.
It has to get to the hospital before the green lights go out.
I can't move you without a backboard and a neck brace.
I know. I'm fine. You're running out of time.
I'm not leaving you.
Hey, if this liver was for my son, I'd leave you in a heartbeat. Seriously, you waiting around here doesn't do anybody any good. If that liver doesn't get to Jason, this was all for nothing.
Dan thinks about this and takes off his jacket, using it as a blanket for the young man.
You hang in there now. That's it. Come on. You're gonna be all right.
Dan adjusts the jacket to make sure the man will be kept warm. Meanwhile, at the rock face, Marie is now climbing, her hands reaching for suitable holding points. She's making good progress, and her female friend climbs a few feet alongside her. As the boys adjust the ropes on the ground below, Marie puts a grip into the rock face and attaches her rope to it. She's nearing the top, and she's looking excited. Back at the crash site, Dan has made a makeshift shelter for the young man out of the plane debris. He checks that it's secure.
This ought to keep you covered.
Get going. I've seen this storm up close. You don't want to be on the road when it hits.
All right. Here, still keep you company until they get here.
Thanks.
Don't thank me yet. He's quite a talker. And here's the volume. You may need it once he gets going. Thank you. I'll buy you a beer later.
Make it two and we're even.
It's a deal. Good luck.
Dan picks up the container and moves off. The man sighs to himself. Back at the rock face, Marie looks concerned too as she notices the grey clouds coming in.
Looks like a storm. We should probably head down.
Come on! If we don't reach the flag, we'll never hear the end of it.
You ready to call it quits?
Hang on.
Marie rolls her eyes.
Okay, check this out.
She adjusts her position a little and then flings herself from the rock face, swinging round on the rope to a part of the rock a few feet away.
All right!
Marie, totally rock!
Back at the car auction, the grey clouds are rolling in.
I've got 8,000. Do I hear 81?
Green!
Do I hear 81? 8,000 going once?
Green!
8,000 going twice?
Look at the sky!
Sold to the newlyweds!
The newlyweds go over to Crane.
Congratulations. May this be the first of your many cars together.
It's a storm.
Boy, I've told you for the last time, back off. Congratulations. If you'll just drive over to the sales table, Janet will take care of all the paperwork. All right, now don't anybody go away now. Next up, we have a
1999 SUV.
Updating our top story of the hour. The National Weather Service is issuing a severe weather warning for most of the Vermont region. There are now two confirmed casualties attributed to the storm, and residents of Woodard, Rutland, and Bristol County are advised to avoid driving and stay inside, away from doors and windows until 8 p.m. tonight. Repeating,
Ladies and gentlemen, please, don't get excited. We're about to start bidding on the bargain basement special. A Studebaker. A 64 Studebaker. We'll start the bidding at $50.
More shots of storm clouds. In his car, Dan speeds along the forest road. He's talking on his radio.
Go ahead, Dan.
Christy?
Did you find Jason?
Not yet.
Dan, the liver's gonna be here any minute.
No, it won't. The plane carrying it went down in the mountains.
What?
Don't worry,
everything's okay. I found the liver.
It's fine.
What about the crew?
One made it.
One didn't.
Are you sure the liver is all right? Even the slightest leak or crack. Dan, just get here as fast as you can.
I'm on my way.
What about Jason?
I let Marie take him to Crane's.
You what?
Stu's calling over there now.
She'll bring him in.
Everything's okay.
No, it's not okay. You lied to me.
I didn't want you to worry.
Christy, Mr. Wilson's wife and daughter are here. Take them in. I'll be right there. I have to go. Can you get Jason here or not?
Yeah, he'll be there.
I promise.
I don't need promises, Dan. I need my son.
Back at the car auction, people are starting to leave, and Crane doesn't look happy. Crane heads into his office and confronts Jason, who looks scared. Crane swipes the microphone from the boy.
Are you crazy? And now back to more soft sounds. Have you completely lost your mind?
I told you there's a storm coming.
Do you have any idea how much money you just cost me?
I'm sorry.
Well, sorry, don't cut it. All right, pack up your stuff. That's the last time you're going to work on this lot. I knew I should have hired the dancing poodles.
A cricket ball-sized hailstone drops from the sky and smashes the windscreen of one of the cars in the auction. There is a deluge of hailstones raining down on the people and the cars on the car lot. People run around in fear as the hailstones begin to wreck everything in their way. Food and drinks on a stall in the auction explode as the hailstones hit them. As they rain down on the town center, some people run and take cover under the park bandstand. At the car lot office, Crane and Jason look on in fear as the door bursts in. The reporters have taken refuge in their car. All the car's windscreens are being smashed in, and people are trying to take shelter under the cars. The female reporter heads off to find shelter elsewhere.
I'm getting out of here.
Yeah! Let Chris come back! It's safer in here!
More windows crash in, and there is a shot of several buildings in the town center on fire. Crane and Jason look up at the ceiling of the office as it starts to cave in. Outside, a couple taking shelter by a car watch in horror as a full-size car on top of a 15-foot pole advertising the car lot starts to rock and weaken under the force of the hailstones. It suddenly comes crashing down onto the roof of Crane's office. At the rock face, Marie is reaching the summit. Just as she is about to make one last effort, she looks up and notices the clouds. One of the young men holding onto her ropes at the bottom sees the clouds too and looks concerned.
Oh. Marie, Laura, come down! The storm's coming! Come on, I'm serious! Hurry!
Marie is now looking anxious and starts her descent, but a downpour of the huge hailstones strikes her and the other climber. As the group try to shield themselves, Marie manages to climb to relative shelter underneath an overhanging piece of rock. Her friend is not so lucky, and Marie watches as the young girl loses her grip and falls from the face. Luckily, one of the grips holds and prevents the young climber from falling any further. Back in Dan's car.
Sorry, Dan. Still no answer.
There's got to be a ton of people at Crane's. How can no one be answering?
Well, you know how crazy the auction gets. There's probably nobody near the phone.
Well, keep trying.
Dan puts down the receiver and notices the young climbers on the rock face that he's driving past.
You gotta be kidding me.
He stops the car, gets out, and looks through some binoculars at the stranded young girls. He gets back into the car, sighs, and picks up the radio receiver.
Stu, change of plans. Send Zach or Doug to pick up Jason at Crane's. I'll meet him at the hospital.
You got it.
He looks down at the container holding the liver, and a second green light goes out on the front of it. At the rock face, Laura's dangling by a rope, and the rope's grip is working itself loose. Marie goes to help.
Laura, get back on!
The rope is still loosening.
Help me! Just grab my arm! Come on, Laura, just grab it! Come on, grab my hand! Come on! And you can do it!
As the grip gives way, Marie grabs hold of Laura's arm.
It's slipping! The rope is slipping!
Marie, I've got you!
Dan takes control of the ropes.
Hang on!
Come on, Laura, hang on!
Hang on! Nancy, come down! You got it, Marie, put it down!
The climbers reach the ground, and Dan takes hold of his daughter and undoes her harness.
What are you doing here? You're supposed to be watching Jason.
No, Mr. Blanchard, it wasn't Marie's fault. She saved my life.
Look, this hail's unpredictable. I want all of you to get your gear right now and go home.
You're coming with me.
The climbers look relieved. An ambulance speeds through the town.
Unit 2 to base.
Copy, Unit 2. Did you find Jason?
Negative. We had to stop. There's hail injury victims everywhere. We picked up 4 minors and a major head trauma.
Can you still make it out to Crane's?
We're not that far away, but the head trauma's lost a lot of blood. Okay.
Get back out there as fast as you can.
Roger. We'll roll into Rutland Medical.
Dispatch!
Dan is driving his daughter to town along a forest road.
So why are you even up here?
I was on a call.
What about my car?
You can forget about it. You are so grounded, you'll be lucky if you ever see it again.
All I did was go climbing.
You were supposed to be taking care of your brother.
It's all I ever do. You know what? I'm sick of it. I'm sick of this family.
Yeah, well, that makes us even. Because I'm not too thrilled with you either right now.
Marie shakes her head in frustration. Back at the car lot and the wreckage of Crane's office, Jason pulls himself out of the debris and sees Crane stuck under a huge beam that has crashed down on top of him.
Mr. Crane.
You okay?
Yeah. You?
I'm pinned, but here, see if you can help me move this beam.
All right.
I can't do it. It's my leg.
Hold on. Oh, you're bleeding.
Ooh!
Sorry. My mom's a doctor. She says you need to put pressure on something if it's bleeding.
Oh, man, that hurts.
Here, see if you can put your hand on it.
No, I can't reach it. You better run for help.
No, I'm gonna stay here with you.
Crane looks at Jason. In the hospital, Christy is attending to a young man with a grazed arm.
There you go. Okay, try to hold still. We'll get you an x-ray as soon as possible.
Okay. Thanks.
Any word on reinforcements?
Well, Dr. Barnes and Dr. Koch are on their way, but that's it so far.
Anything on Dan or the plane?
Not yet.
He should be here by now.
Look, the storm is really slowing everything down out there. I'm sure he's fine.
Christy moves out of the treatment room. Meanwhile, Dan and Marie are still driving through the forest road. Marie reaches for the container.
Don't touch that!
Excuse me for being thirsty. You don't have to freak out about it.
I'm sorry. It's not a regular cooler.
Whatever.
Let's carry a new liver for Jason.
Yeah, right.
That's why I was up here. The plane that was carrying it went down in the mountains.
You serious?
Yep.
So is Jason gonna be okay?
If we can get this cooler to the hospital before the green lights go out.
Well, there's only three left. How long is that?
I don't know.
Why were you wasting time by stopping? What if we don't make it?
We'll make it.
He affectionately touches her cheek, and they smile at each other. Suddenly, the clouds open again. Dan and Marie exchange anxious looks. They drive through a barrage of hailstones, their windscreen crashes in, and Dan loses control of the car. It swerves around in the road as the hailstones pour in, before it skids off the road and ends up on its side in a ditch. In the hospital, the dark-suited hospital administrator strides down a corridor looking purposeful. She stops and sees a number of newly injured patients in a room, then notices Christy attending to a group of patients in the next room. She folds her arms and indicates to Christy that she wants a word. Christy reluctantly takes off her medical gloves and goes to join her. The administrator looks shocked as she sees more patients waiting.
Yes. How are we doing?
How do you think?
I'm working with half a staff. The patients are piling up. Look, we need to start moving the minor injuries upstairs until we can get to them.
Not without admitting them.
The paperwork can wait. We need the space.
Then start forwarding the appropriate cases to County General.
You mean the people without insurance?
We're not a free clinic, doctor.
I am not sending anybody back out into that storm.
Well, you're not sending anybody upstairs either.
They stare at each other. Then Linda moves to the reception desk.
Call upstairs. Get a list of all available hospital beds.
Debbie, put down that phone.
Debbie obeys.
You move a single patient without my authorization, it will be the last decision you make in this hospital.
Debbie, as of right now, every patient in here is considered critical until a complete exam by me determines otherwise.
You can't do that.
I just did. Now, if you want to deny treatment or forward a critical patient without my authorization, you can bring it up with the state board.
As Debbie looks on, the administrator turns and leaves in a huff. Linda breathes a sigh of relief.
Wow.
Yeah. Better get busy before she comes back with her flying monkeys.
Dan's car is still lying at the side of the road. There are sparks from a loose battery connection. The petrol tank has started to leak. Dan and Marie are still unconscious. Dan and Marie start to come round. Because the car is on its side, Marie is a couple of feet directly above Dan.
You okay?
Yeah, I think so.
Unbuckle your seatbelt.
She falls on top of him.
Climb in the back. And get out the back.
The battery sparks and the petrol leaks. Dan's seatbelt is stuck, but Marie cuts him loose.
It's okay. I got it.
Dad, it's stuck. I smell gas.
Listen to me. Listen to me. I want you to climb out the back and get away from the car, okay? Marie, don't worry about me. Just get out of here. Once in your life will you do what I tell you?
Once in your life? Stop telling me what to do.
Remind me to raise your allowance. Go, go, go. Come on, Marie. Hurry up. Move. Go, 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 go.
Come on.
Just after they escape, the car explodes in a ball of fire. Christy talks to the cameraman.
So boom, one of them caught me right in the shoulder. And when I went down, I jammed the eyepiece right in there. You ever try to drive with one eye?
No.
It's tough.
I can imagine. Maybe next time you'll take cover like everyone else.
Are you kidding me? You know how long I've waited for footage like that?
I guess that's one way of looking at it. Hold still.
She puts a bandage on him.
You should have seen it. One minute it's like a used car lot. The next minute it's like a war zone.
You were at Crane's?
Yeah, there was some used car auction or something going on.
Did you see a little boy doing magic down there?
Yeah, I saw that kid.
Do you know where he is now?
Once that hell hit, it got real crazy.
She rushes to a nearby phone.
You've reached Rutland Paramedic Dispatch. Please hold.
Debbie knocks on the glass and indicates that she's needed. Christy hangs up.
Well, when you say worse, how much worse? Well, I don't know. You're the National Weather Service. How about using all those fancy computers and satellites and taking a guess?
Marie and Dan run through the forest.
Wait, Dad, it's broken. That light was still green. How do we know if it's supposed to be on?
We don't. Come on.
Back amongst the wreckage of Crane's office.
Yeah, I figure it's just my luck. I'm having the best day of my life, and then this thing happens. You know, a couple more hours, I'd have broke all the records.
Could have been worse.
Well, thanks. As I lay here bleeding, I'll count my blessings.
I didn't mean to ruin your auction.
That's okay.
Jason grimaces slightly.
You sure you're all right?
Yeah, I just kind of hurt my side when a car fell on us. Do you have anything to drink?
There used to be a water cooler around here somewhere, but not anymore.
I can wait.
Listen, Jason. I'm sorry about what happened before. You were right about wanting to send everybody home. It's just, I get caught up sometimes.
You really like selling cars, huh?
Yeah, I do. I like the auction.
Even though you sell everything so cheap?
Hey, between you and me, it's a gold mine.
Really?
Yeah, once the bidding starts, human nature takes over. It's not just about trying to make the best deal. It's about one guy trying to outbid the other. One guy bids and the other guy bids, and before you know it, the prices just skyrocket.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, it is.
Jason spots a mobile phone.
Hey, look.
He picks it up.
Does it work?
Crane nods in approval. As the storm clouds roll in, Marie and Dan have reached the garden of their house, but as they reach the house, the huge hailstones rain down.
You all right?
Yeah, I'm okay.
Get inside! I'll be back as soon as I can!
I'll help you!
No, what? Just do it!
Still carrying the container, Dan leaps off the veranda and covers his head as he runs through the hailstones to the garage. In the garage, he goes to his work table and searches for his walkie-talkie. On the veranda, Marie is looking anxious. In the garden, the hailstones destroy the birdbath on the front lawn, and a garden lamp is smashed.
Supervisor to base.
Dan, where have you been? This storm is tearing the town apart.
I know. Did you get Jason?
I'm trying, but we're swamped.
Come on, Stu! Get somebody out there!
Hey, it's like a war zone out there. I'm doing the best I can.
I know. I'm sorry. Just let me know when you get him.
Dan gets to work on his bike and watches as the walls and ceiling are shaken by the force of the weather. Back at the hospital, Christy rushes to speak to Jason on the phone.
Jason, you okay?
I'm fine. Don't be mad if I'm at the auction.
It's okay, sweetheart. Daddy told me. Where's Marie?
She is around somewhere. I'm with Mr. Crane. His leg is hurt.
All right, Stu is sending someone over and bring you all to the hospital. Sweetheart, I have great news. They found a liver for you. You're gonna have the operation. Jason?
Yeah, that's great, Mom.
Don't worry, sweetheart. It's all gonna be fine.
Dr. Blanchard, we need you.
I gotta go. I love you. I'll see you soon.
Christy rushes off, and Jason puts down the mobile phone.
Help is on its way.
That's good news. Something wrong?
No, it's just, I have to have an operation. A liver transplant.
Liver? You don't strike me as a heavy drinker.
I was rock climbing last year and I fell.
He shows Crane a bruise on his side.
That looks bad.
Yeah, and the doctor said it would take a long time for me to find a new one, but I guess it didn't.
That's good news. They told me it would take me 2 years to find a crankshaft for my 69 Camaro, so I'd say you're a pretty lucky kid.
I guess.
Back at the hospital...
Dr. Blanchard, I need to speak with you.
I'm busy.
It'll just take a minute.
If it's about the overtime, we're understaffed as it is.
The storm's closed down the airport. Dr. Burkett won't get here in time to do your son's surgery.
We'll get somebody else.
There is nobody else.
What do we do?
Nothing. If I don't have a transplant surgeon, I can't authorize the procedure. You'll just have to wait for another match.
As the administrator walks away, Christy looks shocked. Back at the car lot.
You nervous about the operation?
No, it's just... I'm not so sure I want to have it.
Oh, come on, of course you do.
Did you know sometimes doctors pull out the wrong part? I mean, stuff happens.
Nonsense. You have nothing to fear but fear itself. John F. Kennedy said that.
Actually, it's we have nothing to fear. And it's Franklin Delano Roosevelt.
You're missing my point. Okay. Say that you get a new magic trick.
Like sawing a lady in half?
Sure. Now say this trick is so hard that you're afraid to do it when you get out on stage. I mean, does that mean that you're going to just throw it away?
No, because if I just did the easy tricks, my act would stink.
Exactly. If you don't go for the big tricks in life, you'll almost always regret it.
Do you regret stuff?
Oh, sure I do. Yeah, three things in particular. I always wanted to write a novel, and I should have married Mary Beth Ryan when I had the chance. And I should never have put this stupid car on a pole. Now, can I ask you something?
Yeah, sure.
How do you saw a lady in half?
I can't tell you that.
They grin at each other. Later, in the Blanchard's garage, Dan's still trying to fix the bike when he sees Marie.
I thought I told you to stay in the house.
I thought you might need some help.
I need you to stay out of the way.
Fine.
Dan picks up the spanner that she has passed to him. Marie notices the container holding the liver on the shelf.
I know you think it was my fault.
What was your fault?
Jason's accident.
I know you and Mom blame me.
Honey, no, we don't.
I've been tying my own belay knot since I was 10. I tied his right.
He reaches over and strokes her hair.
Sometimes accidents just happen.
But it shouldn't have. I don't know why it didn't hold.
Listen to me. I checked Jason's knot after you tied it. So if anyone's to blame, it's me.
You checked it?
Just like I've been checking yours since you were 10. Jason didn't even want to go climbing that day. But I pushed him. I thought I could make him love climbing like we do.
She nods.
That's not who he is.
But he's gonna be okay now.
Only if we can get this thing started. Hem his 7/8.
Dan looks nervously up at the ceiling.
That's it.
He is struck by falling debris.
Ah! Turning again, look out!
roof is ripped apart and the hailstones rain in as Dan struggles to finish the work on the bike. Marie spots the liver container and rushes over to rescue it from the falling debris.
No! Marie!
Dan takes hold of Marie and shields her as the ceiling collapses on top of them. Back at the hospital, Christy is on the phone.
There has to be some way of getting a surgeon up here.
I'm sorry, Christy.
There's nothing I can do. The FAA has everything in the area grounded. We haven't seen the worst of this thing.
What about Jason?
I'm working on it. Don't worry. We'll find him.
Thanks. Stu, call me as soon as you know something.
Excuse me. Hi, I'm from WCVD News, and I heard mentioned earlier of a confrontation between you and Karen Benton. I was wondering if you'd like to give your side of the story to our viewers. The viewers love that whole doctors fight for patients' rights angle.
No, thank you.
Now, this is for television. If you change your mind, I'll be around.
The reporter makes an attempt at a smile. Back at the Blanchards, Dan pushes off some wooden planks from the collapsed ceiling.
You okay?
I gotta go before the next one hits. You go in the house. Stay there.
He crosses to the bike, kicking away bits from the fallen roof. Marie crosses to the bike and watches as her father readies himself for the journey to the hospital.
I'm going with you.
Marie!
You need me to hold the cooler.
Dan picks up a jacket and helmet and hands them to Marie. As the house next to the garage burns, Dan and Marie head off on the bike through the fallen hailstones that litter the driveway. Back inside the wreckage of the car lot office, Jason is slumped against the beam that still pins Crane to the floor.
Jason.
Crane picks up and switches on a small portable lamp. Jason comes round and looks very groggy. Crane picks up the mobile.
Hello, this is Pete Crane over at Crane's Auto. Listen, I've got an emergency situation here and... Hello? Hello? Oh, nuts. Battery's dead. Listen, Jason, wake up. Listen, I want you to go outside. I want you to flag down a car, and I want you to get over to the hospital.
No, I'm okay.
You're not okay! What is it? Are you trying to be a hero, or are you scared, or what? But either way, let me tell you something. If anything bad happens to you while you're staying in here with me, my conscience just can't live with that. You understand?
Don't worry about it.
I am worried about it.
On the motorbike, Dan and Marie race along a deserted road.
Why are you doing this?
I did something bad. I need to do something good to make up for it.
What are you talking about?
I lied to my family.
What kind of lie?
A bad one. So bad, it made them all hate each other.
Well, listen, if it's that big a deal, why don't you just come clean and take your lumps?
I can't.
Well, sure you can. Look, how old are you, 11?
12.
Well, 11, 12, there's not much difference. Let me tell you something. Jason. It's never too early to start being a man.
I want to. But what if they hate me?
Hey, they're your family. They're gonna forgive you.
Are you sure?
Hey, I'm a used car salesman, trust me.
Jason nods weakly and slumps back down on the beam. Crane pats his head and looks concerned.
Are we gonna make it?
We're almost there!
Can't you go any faster?
the hailstones rain down over them. He struggles with the bike. But the bike skids onto its side and slides across the street, stopping by some parked cars. Dan goes to help Marie.
Marie! Marie! You okay? Come on! Come on, honey! We gotta go! Come on! We gotta go! Keep going!
While Marie holds the container, Dan takes off his helmet and helps Marie with hers.
You okay?
I'm fine. What are we gonna do now?
Keep moving.
The container now only has one green light on. They're in the town center.
Looks like a bomb went off or something.
Don't think about it, honey. Just keep moving, come on.
Dan talks into his walkie-talkie.
Dan, you there?
Yeah, go, Stu.
Bad news.
Unit 2 lost it in the hail squall on Sycamore and rolled the rig.
Are Zach and Doug okay?
Yeah, but the truck is out of commission. I've got calls into everyone from the sheriff to sanitation, but the city's maxed out. I can't get to Jason.
All right, look. I'm only a few blocks from Crane's now. I'll get it myself.
We're running out of time.
I know. Let's go. Come on.
Christy attends to a little girl.
There you go. Good as new. Now, you're gonna be brave for your mommy, right? That's my girl. Go ahead. Thanks, Tim. Okay.
Christy watches the little girl run into the arms of her father and is moved.
Okay, we have a broken leg in two. And
funny. You try so hard to teach them to be bold and independent, even though that's the last thing you want them to be. And then one day they want to try something that scares you. And you let them because you don't want them to be scared of anything. And you tell yourself you're being silly and you let them go. And then something goes wrong.
Jason's fall was an accident, Christy.
I should have been there, Debbie.
Don't do this to yourself.
If I'd been able to treat him right away...
It wouldn't have made a difference. Look, you know Dan did everything possible. Christy, you can't blame yourself. There's nothing more you could have done.
Christy's eyes are full of tears.
Maybe. I just wish I'd been there to try.
As a tear falls down Christy's cheek, Dan and Marie have reached the car lot.
Jason!
They are now outside the office.
Jason!
Hey, kid. Somebody's here.
Jason, where are you?
In here! We're in the shack!
Okay, hold on!
Dan heads to what used to be the door and pulls away broken wood, blocking the entrance. Marie tries to go in.
No, no. I don't have any idea what's holding this thing up. Wait here.
He goes in.
Jason!
Looking anxious, Marie holds onto the container as the clouds move ominously overhead.
Jason!
Inside, Dan finds his son and feels his forehead.
Boy, am I glad to see you.
Dad.
He's pretty bad. He's getting worse.
He's burning up.
Dan looks around the office and finds a hailstone. He breaks it up and feeds it to Jason. Crane looks impressed.
All right, take this ice. Chew on it.
Why didn't I think of that?
I'm gonna take him out of here. I'll be back for you.
His leg.
What?
His leg. It's bleeding.
I'm all right.
He's holding your artery.
No, it's okay. Get him out of here. I'll be okay. I'm all right. Go on.
A tourniquet. I need something to tie it off.
Hey, Dad. Here. How about that?
Great.
Dan uses the chain of ribbons from Jason's magic act as a tourniquet.
This might hurt a bit.
No. That feels great. That's great.
Sorry. I will be back. Come on, Jason.
Don't worry, I'll be all right, Jason.
Dan pulls Jason out as more storm clouds roll over.
I don't know yet.
We gotta go. It's coming again.
Marie, calm down.
He reaches for his walkie-talkie.
Stu, are you there?
Go ahead.
I'm at Crane's and I got Jason. Great. Listen, I got an injured Pete Crane trapped in a collapsed trailer. Is there any chance you can get someone over here?
No, not for a while. Medusa's got everything tied up.
All right. Call Christy, let her know we're on our way. All right. So what I want you to do, I want you to keep him as warm as you can. I'll be right back.
No! There's only one green light left.
Yeah, okay. Let me think. Just get him on the bus. I'll be right there.
Holding the container in one hand and supporting Jason with the other, Marie struggles over to a big yellow school bus parked by the side of the car lot.
Keep walking.
There are more storm clouds. Inside the bus, Marie hugs Jason tightly.
We gotta move fast. This whole thing could come down on us any second.
This whole day just keeps getting better.
Shh. You're gonna be okay, Squirt. I didn't tell that you weren't climbing.
I know.
All right. When I lift this beam, you pull your legs out.
Sure this is gonna work?
No, just get your legs out.
There's something else. When I fell, it wasn't your fault.
Don't worry about that now, okay?
I wanted to prove I could do it myself. I retied my rope after you did. I didn't want to get in trouble. You can tell Mom and Dad.
One, two, three.
Dan strains and removes the beam from Crane's leg.
Actually, I think you should tell Dad.
You don't think he'll be mad?
Something tells me it'll be okay.
You're not mad?
No.
Does this mean I could saw you in half?
You get better and we'll see.
What about thirds? I could take your head right off.
Don't push it.
Dan goes to help Crane up. They look up at the ceiling. Suddenly, the walls come crashing in as the whole office collapses on top of them. Marie looks on in horror.
Dad!
Crane has managed to pull himself free.
Where's my dad?
He was right behind me. No, you can't go in there.
But, Mommy! Dad!
Easy. I think I broke my ankle. All right. Yeah.
You want to race?
You're on.
Dan enters the bus and sits next to Jason. Crane enters and sits on the next seat along. Then Marie sits down next to him. Dan looks at Marie.
Okay, kiddo, your turn to drive.
I can't drive a bus.
You're the only one with two working legs. Come on. Okay, Crane. Tell me this thing runs.
Runs like a dream. Try it again. Don't worry, she'll start. Go ahead, put the pedal all the way down. Hey, what'd I tell you? Sold a lemon in my life.
The bus pulls out and crashes into one of the wrecked cars as it leaves the car lot.
Take it easy.
Sorry.
You're great.
Dan puts his arm around Jason and gives him a hug. At the hospital, Christy picks up the phone.
Rutland ER.
It's me.
Dan, where are you? What's taking so long?
It's a long story. You guys have to be ready to go as soon as we get there.
He looks at Jason sleeping behind him.
Jason's in liver failure.
What happened?
I don't know. But you were right. I never should have let him go. It's all my fault.
No. No, no, it's not. Just get him here as fast as you can. Everything's gonna be okay. Call upstairs. I want anesthesia and a surgical team ready and standing by.
But who's doing the surgery?
As Debbie looks confused, Christy crosses over to the news cameraman who's nearby.
Excuse me, cameraman. I have a question for you.
The bus comes round the corner of a street, wrecked cars at the side of them and hailstones lining the road. Marie is looking more confident, but makes a face as she accidentally runs over Dan's bike, which is still lying in the middle of the road.
What was that?
Nothing. I'm driving this thing.
How you doing?
I'm okay. What happened to your foot?
No, it's no big deal.
Dan tucks his jacket round Jason to make sure he's warm enough. Jason spots the container.
Is that it?
Yeah.
Too bad they didn't pack some sodas in there.
Yeah, that's a good idea. We should suggest it to him, huh?
Dad, there's something you should know. It wasn't your fault that I fell.
Hey, look, Let's not worry about that right now, okay? It's not important. Everything's gonna be okay.
No, I mean, I retied my knot before I climbed. I just wanted to show you I could do it myself. I'm sorry. Next time I'll let you do it.
You mean you wanna go climbing again sometime?
Sure. I mean, the climbing was fun. It was the falling that stunk.
A few hailstones start to drop in front of the bus. There's a downpour of them up ahead. Dan and Marie look concerned.
Dad!
Let's get you to the back of the bus, Jason. Come on.
Crane!
Now, take Jason.
Come on, Jason, let's go.
Jason and Crane move to the back, and Dan holds onto the container.
Hold on!
He moves up the bus to Marie to help her steer.
Here she comes!
The windscreen smashes.
Break! That's it!
The bus screeches to a halt. Jason and Crane look up from their seat, and Dan gets up and brushes off his shoulders.
Is everyone okay?
Yeah. All right.
It's coming right at us, you know I can't drive like...
Marie, calm down.
Will this really work?
Absolutely. My station has a satellite feed open to Atlanta, and the network shopper just arrived with the surgeon. I'll have as good a view as you do and be able to talk you through the whole procedure.
I hope so.
You know, when the world sees this footage, you're gonna be the most famous TV doc since Marcus Welby.
If I don't botch it.
Ah.
As the hailstones crash down, Dan, at the back of the bus, is directing Marie, who is driving in reverse gear to the hospital.
I can't see where I'm going!
Straight back! Straight back! Right! Right! Marie, to the right! To the right! Okay, now left! Left! Turn it hard! Harder! Come on! Gun it! Watch it! I see the hospital! Come on! Keep going faster! Faster! That's it, Marie! Good, good, good! We're almost there! We're almost there!
Woo! Woo-hoo!
You got it now!
Straight back! Come on, come on! Take it in easy! Get in safer! Back it, ease up! Ease up!
The bus reaches the hospital. Dan hugs Marie.
Way to go, kiddo. All right, make sure they have a gurney for him. Go!
Dan lifts Jason out of the bus to the waiting hospital staff.
Let me get him there.
Yeah, right, Jason. Dr. Mark,
Jason. I love you. Start him on a saline drum. Get him upstairs.
Mom.
Sorry. Are you all right?
I'm fine. I want to go with Jason.
Go ahead. I'll be right there.
Christy looks deeply concerned as she watches Jason wheeled away on a hospital bed. Dan comes in carrying the container.
He's down on the wire, but it's here.
Edward, get this upstairs to the OR.
Right.
Sorry we're late. Traffic was a mess.
Are you all right?
Don't worry about me.
Dan, we've got a problem.
Dan limps over to where she is standing.
The storm. The surgeon can't get here.
Dan looks exasperated.
So what are we supposed to do?
Well, we don't have many choices. We can stabilize Jason and hope to find another match someday.
He needs that liver now. It's here. We can't just throw it away.
I agree. The only other option is me doing the surgery with a specialist talking me through it from Atlanta.
All available EMTs report to trauma 23.
It's a complicated procedure. And I completely understand if you don't think we should risk it.
No. You are too good a doctor. And way too good a mother to even think about it unless you knew you could do it. Trust your instincts.
Are you sure?
Positive.
They embrace each other.
Upstairs.
Go.
Dan rubs his head. A male nurse attends to Crane in the bus, and Dan enters.
You ever see a bus perform like this?
I can't say that I have.
I tell you, Mother Nature herself couldn't stop a Pete Crane vehicle. Nothing in this world could. Hey, that's pretty good. I ought to write that down. You got a pen?
You better be careful. He might have you driving this thing home. Listen. I just want to say thanks for watching out for Jason. I really appreciate it.
Yeah. I would say you're welcome, but truth is, Pete Crane never sold a lemon or told a lie, and I ought to thank you because your son saved my life. You got one heck of a kid there. Your daughter, too.
Yeah.
You're a lucky man, Blanchard.
I know. Thanks.
Yeah.
Come on. I'll help you up.
No, thanks. Yeah. Oh, I'm telling you the truth now. I paid $3,000 for this bus, but I'd be willing to give it to you for
$2,500. Yeah?
Oh, yeah. $500 down, that's all it's going to take.
Well, what kind of interest?
No interest at all, just 500 sweet greenbacks.
In a corridor, Christy, Debbie, and Dan look in on the operating theater being prepared by the nurses. Christy turns and sighs.
It's time. What if we lose the feed? Look at my hands. What if Jason...
No. Everything will go fine. Hey, you can do this.
She's right. You can do this.
Come on. Let's get you scrubbed in.
Go.
The administrator enters.
Stop. This is an unauthorized procedure. Anyone assisting Dr. Blanchard in any way will be suspended, pending further disciplinary action.
Go home, doctor. You're through for the day.
Don't do this.
I already have. You may be willing to throw away your career, but you're going to have to do it alone.
Well, I've done my share of OR rotations. I'll help you.
Galliano!
Oh, go ahead and fire me.
The cameraman films the confrontation.
You are all in violation of hospital policy. Clear this OR immediately, or I will remove every one of you from the premises. This procedure will continue as scheduled in 10 minutes.
Here we go. Rebel hospital staff risk career to save dying boy. Film at 11.
Smile for the camera, Karen.
The administrator blinks in disbelief as the nurses, Debbie, Christy, and Dan stare defiantly back at her. She turns and storms out. As the cameraman films, Christy looks at Dan, then crosses to Debbie.
Thank you. I owe you one.
No, you don't. You earned this. Now let's get you scrubbed in.
Christy checks that the administrator isn't coming back and turns to Dan.
I'll see you in a few hours.
I'll be waiting.
As Christy leaves him, Dan has tears in his eyes, and he turns to watch the operation.
Blood oxygen 92. Pressure?
120 over 60.
All right. Next, you're going to clamp the hepatic artery. You're doing fine, Dr. Blanchard. Evacuate.
Evacuating. Suction?
That's it. Oh, perfect. That's lovely.
Incisor? Incisor?
Looks like you've got cartilage. Clear it.
Sparing cartilage?
Oh, this looks great.
Blood pressure dropping. 70.
Okay. Now pull the lateral retractor.
Forceps.
Turn the clamp and evacuate the blood.
Stu enters the hospital waiting room with two cups of coffee. Marie is asleep, and Dan has his head over his hands as if he's praying. Stu taps him and passes him a coffee.
Thanks.
How's he doing?
I don't know. It's been almost 6 hours.
He's a tough kid.
Dan nods gently and strokes Marie's hair.
They both are. What's going on with the storm?
Medusa has officially left the building. Weather Service canceled the alert. Skies are clearing.
Great.
Oh, I saw that medic from the plane. He said he's ready to collect on your deal.
Thanks. I've just been sitting here, thinking about everything. I don't belong behind a desk. Once Jason's through with all this, I'm going back in the field where I belong.
Is this where I get to say I told you so?
No, this is where you say you'll take over the squad.
Thanks for the thought. Division will never let an old dog like me have a squad.
Trust me. When they hear how you steered this town through the storm, they're gonna wonder why they ever gave it to me in the first place. What do you say?
I don't know what to say.
Say yes.
Okay. Yes.
They shake hands.
Congratulations, boss.
Hey, wait a minute. Does this mean I have to redo all those manpower reports?
Take it up with division.
In the operation, a nurse mops Christy's brow.
Pressure holding?
That's it. Now restore the flow
stay
to the interior.
Stay with it.
Quickly, please. Indicators?
Stable but cautious.
Just keep doing what... Oh.
Okay, that's great. Let's proceed.
Suction.
All right. Now unclamp the hepatic artery and restore. Steady, doctor. Reduce the bleeding. It's too heavy.
We can't lose any more pressure.
Tie off the vena cava first, then restore. Check the pressure.
110 over 65.
Thank you. No lower. Easy now. Slowly, doctor. This is critical.
Pressure's at 62, 61. Pressure's dropping.
Let's fix that.
60, 59.
Doctor, you can do it.
It's been 24 hours since one of the most severe hailstorms in U.S. history struck this quiet Vermont town. I'm here at the Rutland Medical Center, where a dedicated, understaffed medical team has worked tirelessly through the night on hundreds of hail victims. Among the more serious patients is 12-year-old Jason Blanchard. Cut it! You sure this is working?
Absolutely. You're nailing it.
Yeah? Okay. That's good. All right. Yeah, I don't know. I think it needs an edge. A little bit of an edge, huh?
Whatever you say. Take 14. You're on.
It's been 24 hours since one of the most severe hailstorms in U.S. history struck this quiet Vermont town.
Jason is recuperating in a hospital bed. Christy is checking his charts, and his sister sits by his bedside.
Hey, Earth to Marie. Come on. Now you say...
Pick a card.
Any card at all?
What's the difference? Pick a card means any of them.
I know, but that's just the way you're supposed to say it.
Shouldn't he be resting? I'm sure he can handle one more trick. Go on.
Pick a card. Any card at all.
Dan limps into the room.
Hey, champ. How you doing this morning?
I'm okay. Right, Mom?
You're better than okay. Yeah, he's about 98% as annoying as ever.
Glad to hear it. I'm sure with the help of his loving sister, he'll be 100% in no time. Hey, guys, can I borrow Mom for a sec?
Sure, I'm not going anywhere.
Marie chuckles, and she and Jason watch as Dan and Christy move over to the doorway.
It's been a long night.
Yeah.
How are you holding up?
Okay.
Dr. Bronson, 3249.
How's the town?
Dr. Bronson, 3249.
Millie Ryan's cat's already stuck in another tree, so I guess everything's getting back to normal.
They both look down at the floor, awkwardly.
Look. I'm sorry about yesterday. I never meant to lie to you.
No. I'm sorry. I haven't been the easiest person to be with lately.
Dan kisses her on the forehead, and they embrace each other.
The important thing is, we got through this, and Jason's gonna be fine.
Yes, he is.
Why don't you go grab a non-hospital meal, and I'll watch Jason for a while.
Why don't you come with me? I'm sure the kids will be fine on their own for an hour or so.
How about this one?
Pick another card.
You sure?
Positive. Don't be so overprotective.
Slowly and gently, Dan leans his head forward and kisses his wife, while their children look on and giggle. And with a look of profound relief on her face, Christy embraces her husband. The end.